Well, I'm going to talk about a man in the Bible. And this man, we don't know much of his backstory. I'm going to kind of color it in, and I'm just assuming what I can. But this man, I want you to imagine him. I want you to picture him. This man in the Bible had always dreamed of becoming a father. I picture that he grew up and it was a desire of his heart that one day I'd get married and one day when I meet the right woman, we would get married and then we would fall pregnant, and he dreamed of being a dad. And that moment came in his life where the door opened and tears filled his eyes as his wife found out that they were expecting a baby. Joy filled his heart, and I just picture like tears welling. I can picture it from my own story. Tears welling in his eyes as that dream was beginning to be fulfilled. The first few years were absolutely wonderful, and he loved being a dad to this newborn baby who grew into a little toddler and started to enter childhood. But unfortunately, as that little boy grew up, something just did not seem right. Something just started to go wrong. And unfortunately for this dad, what came apparent as that child got older and older is that child actually could not speak. As other children started to speak and get language and talk, this child was mute. This child, the Bible tells us, would have what the Bible called fits. And basically where, he would shake uncontrollably and have fits. And it actually goes on to say that something would take a hold of this child from a young age. And it's like something would come over the child, and the child would try to throw himself into fire or into water. And I just picture this through the lens of a father. At first, of course, as you and I would be, the father was disheartened and heartbroken. He was hoping with all of his might that this problem would go away. He did everything he could. I can picture him going to the best doctors at the time and researching and doing everything he could in his power to help his precious little boy. But unfortunately, it didn't get better. In fact, it got worse and worse and worse. And all of a sudden, his father finds himself in a desperate situation. He became desperate. His dreams and his hopes were shattering around him, and what had been a blessing started to feel like a burden on his shoulders, and his heart broke. In his desperation, what he thought would be good news came about where he had heard about these people called disciples, apostles, and they were going around town to town, and they were laying hands on the sick, and they were miraculously recovering. And blind people were seeing, and they heard rumors of dead people rising and people getting set free of demonic spirits. And it's almost like I can picture this man. His heart started to well, he dared to well with hope again. And he brings his son. And he brings him to the disciples. Now, we don't know exactly which disciples or which apostles, but I just imagine this moment where he's like, maybe this is the moment where God comes through for me. And he brings his child to the disciples. And I picture that he had seen other people get healed, other children get set free. And he's in this moment. What do you reckon, Brave? Is this good preaching, buddy? Hey. And he's looking at me. I love you. And he brings his boy to the disciples. And the moment comes where they lay hands on him. And they say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, set free. And in this exciting moment, nothing happens. He doesn't get healed. He doesn't get set free. Can you imagine what this father was feeling in that moment? Can you imagine perhaps his view of God? How come you're healing other people but not my son? How come others are getting set free but not my child? And I feel it in my heart as I read this story. The word that comes to mind is disappointment would have come to his heart. Because he had this miracle, this need, this trial. And I'm sure you and I can relate to this. And he thought that the answer of the prayer was going to happen in a certain way, at a certain time. You have to remember, it had been years in the making. And when the moment came for what he would have thought God to come through for him, his son did not get healed or set free. And I just imagine disappointment and confusion filled his heart. And I wonder here this morning, as you reflect on your own journey with God, as you reflect in your own faith journeys, have you ever found yourself in that place? Because I know without a shadow of doubt, I have found myself there many times, feeling disappointed and confused. God, I thought you were going to come through for me. I had an expectation that you were going to move powerfully, but you didn't, and I don't understand why. Have you ever been there? Because this father found himself there. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to go through a passage of scripture together, and we're going to see the end of the story. If you can turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. I got some scripture for you here this morning. You ready to go? Woo! Verse 14 to 29. And we pick up the story, okay? It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? Jesus asked. Verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out this spirit, but they could not. Pressing pause there, once again we see a man in desperation with a need. He has a clear need. He needs a miracle. This is a man who has a journey of faith and a man in the middle of a trial. And I ask us to reflect this morning, what's your need in this season? What are you believing God for? See, this father knew exactly what his request of God was. And I wonder if you and I would have the same knowledge in this season of our request of God. Where do you need God to move? Verse 19, Jesus says, this is talking not so much to the father, but to the disciples and the religious people. And he says, you unbelieving generation. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. Once again, we get a picture into this man's life. This was not a short-term faith project. Yeah. This had been a long-term thing, perhaps decades of believing God, of challenge, of trial. This had been many years in the making, and it was no small thing. This man was desperately aware of what he needed and wanted Jesus to do, and he had been believing for it for years. Verse 22, it had often thrown him into fire and water to kill him. But check this out, everyone. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. See, language always locates our heart. The Bible says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we get a picture into this man's heart, if you can. See, he still had doubt. He was trying his best. But I know for you and I, it's such a great question to go, how am I going in my faith journey? And often the indicator is what's coming out of our mouth. It goes on, 23, Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. If you have your Bible here, I want you to underline that. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. Come on, if you are struggling right now in any season or any journey in your world, this is good news here this morning. Anything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I reckon this is one of the most awesome scriptures in the New Testament. Here comes a man and he is so brutally honest with God. See, everything in him wants to believe. And he just says, Lord, I do believe, but that's part of my heart. Because there was another part of his heart that was still welling with disappointment, with fear, with doubt, and with unbelief. But out of humility and honesty, he said, Jesus, I'm trying and I do believe, but with this section of my heart that's struggling, can you help me overcome my unbelief? I love that. And then it just goes on as I finish this story. When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scenes, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. Come on, somebody. The boy looked so much like a corpse, many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And Jesus had gone indoors. His disciple asked him privately, why couldn't we drive this out? He replied, this kind can come only out by prayer. Wow, what an amazing passage of scripture. What a journey. But how awesome is that this story ends with this man getting what he had been believing God for years. Jesus came through for him and his family. This little boy was completely set free of every demonic spirit against him and completely healed. And they leave this moment with Jesus completely healthy and whole. But I want to look at the lens of this father and how it can apply to you and I in our journeys of faith. Because we have to know this as believers, okay? Just when we enter a relationship with the Lord, when we become believers of Christ, it doesn't mean we're going to have a perfect or easy life. We were all in what we call the good fight of faith. And you and I are going to go through seasons and journeys of trials, of wilderness seasons, of prayer, of going after things in our life and our families. And the reality for you and I is we're all going to go through journeys of faith. We need faith as believers. Faith moves mountains. Faith pleases God. And so it's good to go, all right, in my future, there are going to be moments where you and I will be demanded of to have great faith in God. And this story helps us into two enemies of our faith. I have two thoughts for us here today. The father had to overcome disappointment. And the father had to overcome doubt. So disappointment will be an enemy of our faith. And doubt will be an enemy of our faith. And I want to look at how this man overcame that and how you and I can overcome it in our life. Give me a wave. Who feels like that'll be helpful this morning? So good. I was going to say, give me a hand if you think it won't be helpful. I won't do that. Just joking. But in all honesty, what will help me out is what I want you to do right now, before I even start on the first point, is to do that. Have a reflection in your life right now. And my question is, as you slow down in your heart, what are you believing God for in this very season? Where do you need breakthrough or a miracle? And throughout, as we go on this journey together, I want you to hold that in your heart and before God. Because that's what we're discussing today with that situation in your life. Maybe you have five right now. And hey, that's okay. Maybe you actually are scrambling to think of one. Maybe there's one you once believed God for, but because of disappointment, you actually let go of the promises of God. And I really feel prophetically that today God is going to resurrect some old promises and prophecies, and God's going to resurrect hope in people's hearts. Where you might be sitting here going, wow, I realized through a disappointed heart, I actually let go of some promises that God gave me. And so let's go. Number one, how do we overcome disappointment? This was not a short-term trial, but what I loved about this dad is he did not give up. His journey was one of overcoming disappointment. And how we know that particularly is, as I shared earlier, he had a moment where he thought the breakthrough was going to happen. And as I said, he dared to let his hope rise, and it almost, I can feel it in the text, that his spirit would have been crushed on the other side of that. He saw others get healed and set free, but not his own son. But he kept believing. He could have given up. He could have got a hard heart. He could have gone home and not come again. Yet here he is, not with perfect faith, but with persistent faith. And that's maybe my key thought for us here this morning, that perhaps God is not looking for perfect faith in you and I, but what he is looking for is persistent faith. I love that the Father kept showing up. And what scares me a little bit when I reflect on my own life is imagine if the Father had given up. Imagine if the Father wasn't out when Jesus came to town. Imagine if he was in his bedroom still sulking and still disappointed, which there's a time and a place for that. But you and I can't allow the disappointments of our life to get us to sit down on the inside, to give up and to distance ourselves from God. See, this man had pain and disappointment, but he refused to let it keep him held back. And just the fact that he showed up that day tells me there was some faith still in his heart. And all God needs is a mustard seed of faith. But if you and I can have that faith in our spirit, there's no telling what God can do through us and for us. But we have to overcome disappointment. He kept showing up and kept believing. See, disappointment, and I'm sharing from my experience, can cause us to give up. It can cause us to harden our heart. It can cause us to stop believing, to distance ourselves from God out of our own pain. It can cause us to blame God, to live defeated, to compare our life to others. Ebony just reminded me of a scripture this morning over breakfast that hope deferred makes the heart sick. A disappointed heart is a sick heart, and God comes to heal that. See, disappointment is a feeling, but faith is a substance. And you and I, as people of faith, have to make a decision. We will never let our feelings dictate our faith, but we will let our faith dictate our feelings. There's a story in the New Testament. I don't have time right now, but Luke 18, it's a parable of a persistent widow. And basically, this widow had, and you should go read it, Luke 18, 1 to 8. This widow had a request to a judge. And Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And this widow just kept coming and demanding that the judge would give her justice. And the judge would push her back. And day one, she went, God, give me justice. The judge said no, and the door shut. And then the next day, she gets up again and she says, hey, give me justice. Give me my land. And the judge says no. The third day, the fourth day, this woman was persistent. Everyone say persistent. And it's an amazing story because finally the judge just gets sick and tired of her pestering him. She kept coming. She kept persisting. No matter what this judge did, she could not get rid of this woman. And I find it so interesting that Jesus uses that parable to teach us how to pray. Jesus is looking for persistent faith. Persistent prayer. That means if I pray once and I don't get the answer to my prayer, I'll get up the next day and I'll pray again. I'll keep believing God. In fact, Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Did you notice it doesn't say ask once and then you will receive what you ask for? I wish it said that, but it doesn't. What does it say? It says keep on asking and you will. Not you might, not you may. You will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. And so there's a lesson for you and I. How do we overcome disappointment? We have to be persistent and patient in our faith. Never let disappointment stop you and I from asking, seeking, and knocking. And that is our victory if we just stay in that place. I refuse to give up requesting. This is the test of faith. Will I believe when nothing changes? Will I believe when I feel disappointed? Will I believe when it seems impossible? And if I was to ask you, how is your faith in your heart going right now? Remembering God's not looking for perfect faith. But if I had a spiritual x-ray and I could see into your spirit, how is your faith right now in what you are believing God for? If you have to give it a rating out of 10, are you a 7 out of 10? Go, you know what? Most days I feel positive that God's going to come through. Or the reality on a faith journey is maybe here this morning you're at a 2 out of 10 and you're like, I'm honestly really struggling to see a way forward, to trust that God's got this. Jesus wasn't looking for perfect faith, but persistent faith. And some of you know the story. Ebony and I had quite a faith journey of our firstborn son. And we actually decided that we were ready to start a family and we were ready to have a baby. And for us, that was so exciting. And similar to this man, it was a dream. We were so pumped. But what happened for us is 3 months went by, 6 months went by, 1 month went by, and it wasn't happening for us. And I just remember for us on that journey, it ended up being over a 3.5 year journey for us of trying and getting no answer to that prayer. And something Eb and I learned, and what was unique about this, because we've had many faith journeys, including buying miracle houses or moving cities to plant a church, or you name it, we've been through many faith journeys. But what made this one so challenging is that every 4 to 6 weeks, we would get bad news that would lead to disappointment. And a huge journey for Eb and I on that faith journey was learning how to overcome disappointment. Because there'd be so many times where that bad news would come again and we'd cry and we'd weep and we'd be wrestling again like, God, we're just so disappointed. Why are you not coming through for us? It was so painful. And we had to learn what to do with that disappointment. And just two quick thoughts of what this man showed us is being honest with that feeling. Did you notice this man showed honesty? He didn't pretend he had faith, all faith. He said he was honest. If you can, help us. And Eb and I went on a journey of it's okay to be honest with God. And it's almost like you delve into the disappointment and it's going to have an end date, but you wrestle it out with God and you're honest to God and you're honest to those you love. But then there comes a moment where after that honesty and processing, you just got to let it go and start believing again. Keep persisting in faith. And so to overcome disappointment, we need persistent and patient faith. Faith that doesn't give up and faith that trusts God's timing. My second thought as I close out this message is we need to learn to overcome doubt. So we've got to overcome disappointment. We've got to overcome doubt and unbelief. And the answer here is one word starts with F. It is faith. How do we overcome doubt? It is with faith. I love Smith Wigglesworth was a mighty man of God, perhaps over the last few hundred years, who saw the most miracles out of many healing evangelists. And I've read about 3 of his autobiographies. I love his faith and his journey. And he has one quote that he just said time and time and time and time again, besides scripture. And this quote I read through every single autobiography about 100 times. He had this line, it said, only believe, all things are possible if you only believe. So this man had a little bit of doubt in his heart. Eb and I on our journey, we had a little bit of doubt in our heart. But what do we do with that doubt? What do we do? Doubt comes from disappointment. Doubt comes from unmet expectations. As I shared earlier, God, I thought by now you would have answered this. God, I thought if you were good, you would X, Y, Z. We get all these thoughts and lies in our head. And this man actually at the end of the day had doubt, wondering if Jesus even had the power to heal his son. But he was honest. But God had mercy in his honesty. But what did God address with this man? And it's so abundantly clear, this whole passage of scripture is teaching us about one thing. It's how he responded to this man. And it's what you and I need to respond to in these moments in our life. Jesus addressed his faith and his belief. The issue was faith. See, faith is always the key to the miraculous and the supernatural. He said, help me with my unbelief. So if faith and belief are the answer, doubt and unbelief are the enemy. The enemy wants you and I in a place of doubt, in a place of lack of faith, of unbelieving. He wants us grumbling and complaining and complacent and trying to give up. And our unbelief and doubt can ultimately stop God from moving in our life. There is one of the most mind-blowing scriptures in the Bible where it says the Israelites' unbelief literally stopped the hand of God from moving. Isn't that amazing? God is all-powerful, but he needs our faith to move. Faith is so powerful in our life. God does not respond to our need. He responds to our faith. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. So you and I need to go, all right, I need to grow in my faith life. I need to grow in my faith. But how did this Jesus encourage this man to do it? Well, if we go back to that verse, if you can, said Jesus, what happened next? Out of the mouth of Christ came almost a word or a promise that was spirit-breathed. Everything is possible for one who believes. And as those words came out of Jesus' mouth, something happened in this man's spirit. He went from doubt to faith by the word of Jesus Christ. And it's the same with you and I. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so if you're here today going, all right, how can I grow in my faith? What is faith? Where does faith come from? Faith always comes from the word of God. It is the only place you and I can go to get faith. Our faith comes from there. Our faith is worth fighting for, friends. Our victory is our faith. As I shared earlier, it is impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. When we look at the armor of God in Ephesians, there's all these defensive mechanisms, the shield and this and that, but it says then you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so for every battle, for every trial, you and I need a sword for that battle. So to bounce back to what you're believing God for in this season, with my pastor hat, if you came and asked for a coffee to talk to me about it, the first thing I will ask you is, what is your sword for this battle? In other words, what has God said about it to you? And that is always from the word of God. And almost until we can answer that, our journey of faith can't begin. The beginning place of our journey of faith is getting a word from God. A promise from him. And for Ebony and I, can you guys put up that first photo? As we were wrestling the disappointment, as we were walking through the doubt, suddenly about it, and I wish I could say, hey, from day one, I was this perfect man of faith and perfect husband. No, man, I learned so much in that journey, okay? We are never perfect in our faith journeys. And probably about a year in, I really felt the Holy Spirit start to prompt me. So it's almost like that's where it turned into a faith battle for me. We'd been trying for a year. We just saw a specialist. I'm like, all right, this is a journey of faith. And so I felt the Lord say to me, you need to lead your family to a place of faith. And so I just remember sitting down with Ebony and I said, sweetheart, we've got to go on a journey of seeking God around this. What does he say about this? And this 5 scriptures probably took us about 6 months to collate. We'd get one, you know, one was a prophecy. Most of them just came alive to us in our daily quiet time. But can I tell you, for Ebony and I, they became 5 swords. And I printed this. You can ask Ebony, I printed about 30 copies. I hid them all around the house. I put them in Ebony's Bible. I put it in my Bible. I put it in our car. I put it on our mirror. I put it where we get dressed. Every day we would pray together. We would hold hands and we'd take turns praying. And what were we praying? We were praying the word of God. We were getting our sword out. God, you said. And then we would declare, you promise that children are a gift from God. Father, every good and perfect gift comes from you. And we would speak the word of God. And can I tell you, we would leave that time together filled with faith. What's your sword for the battle? Faith always speaks. So we don't just receive the word, we need to speak the word. We need to declare it. And so half the battle was getting them written out. That's half of it. But we can't then just leave it there and go, awesome, God, thank you for those promises. I'll leave them in my Bible and check back in a year. God is always looking for us to develop our faith muscle, to create things in the spirit. So the other half is, all right, I now have the sword. Like, I know this is so obvious, but does a warrior defeat their enemy with the sword and the sheath? How does he win it? He takes out the sword and attacks. And that's what it's like when you and I have the word of God in our mouth that God has given us and we declare it over our life, as we declare it over our mountain, as we declare it over our enemy. That word of God is alive and it is powerful. It is doing 2 things at once. It is building our faith and it is overcoming our enemy. And we declared it and we declared it and we declared it. And can I tell you, our answer to our miracle is sitting on the front row, our little Brace. Come on, let's give God the glory for that. Yeah, buddy. Woo! Let's go. Oh, that's a kid. Don't make daddy cry. All right. And just one last little thing. Faith speaks, faith sees. This is going to sound so weird. But another time when I was praying, I felt God say, you need to see it. And this was so random, but I just said to Ebony, why don't we go to Baby Bunting and buy something in faith? And I know it sounds weird, but we went and we found this teddy that we just loved. And we said, babe, and we talked together and we said, we see our son holding this teddy. And I know, once again, it sounds weird, don't judge us. But when we'd pray every day, we'd get that out, we'd have that and declare the promises. And we would literally hold the teddy. And it was like we could close our eyes and we would see our son with it. And then if you can go to the next photo, there's our son holding the teddy that we would pray with every single day. And it was almost like for us, I know it sounds weird, but it was just what worked for us in the time. It was that we could close our eyes and see the answer to prayer. Faith speaks and faith sees. So what are you seeing? What are you speaking? If I can invite the band up, please. So to overcome doubt, we need faith. Faith comes by the word of God. And so as I land this message for each and every single one of us, my question as I shared is, what are you believing God for? What has God said about it? Maybe for some of us, our homework out of today is we actually need to go and do that journey of, Lord, I need your promises over this area. Maybe you need healing and you need to go and get some promises from God. Maybe you need financial provision and breakthrough. You need to go to the Word of God and say, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. See, that was the key to this man's breakthrough, was the word that came out of his mouth. And then out of that, what are you going to do with the Word of God? We need to declare it and we need to see it. We can overcome all doubt and all disappointment. And throughout this whole journey, the Holy Spirit is our helper. Eb and I were carried through that season. It was the toughest thing we've ever walked through by far together. And it was so challenging in every area, but we felt the Spirit of God in every moment, on the highs and the lows, He was with us in that journey. And that Father we read about was never alone. The Lord always had a plan. Can we just stand to our feet, and I just want you to connect your heart to the Lord in this place. Can you just close your eyes? Where I feel the Holy Spirit right now is hovering around this word disappointment. If you are here and you are feeling disappointed, in a moment we're going to give that to the Lord. I see it washing away in a river. It's like you came in with something. It was attached to people's hearts. But in a moment, it's just going to wash off. I actually see people right now, you actually didn't know you were disappointed. There are people here who maybe 5 years ago were believing God for something. And through your disappointment, you actually gave up believing. And today, I hear the voice of God saying, pick it up again. Pick up that sword again. Don't stay home. Be the father who comes out to meet with Jesus. The precious Holy Spirit, right now, I'm believing with people where there is pain and hurt and disappointment. We bring it to God right now. We bring it to you. And we thank you that you are bringing a supernatural healing and freedom to hearts. It is washing away in the name of Jesus Christ. I see the word of God washing over us. And I just declare right now that all disappointment or discouragement and all heaviness would break off people's lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe right now disappointment hasn't been your challenge, it's doubt. Can you open your heart to the Lord? I just sense that the Lord is going to bring words to you. He's putting a sword in your hand. Your faith is going to rise in this moment And so if you're saying, I'm doubtful, can you pray that prayer of that father? Pray that prayer of the father. I believe, but God, help me with my unbelief. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. So right now, in the name of Jesus, wherever there is doubt, wherever there is fear, I declare that the word of God is greater. Right now, by the Spirit of God, let promises drop into people's heart. Let fresh vision drop into people's minds. I declare, let faith rise in your people by the word of God. I bind all discouragement and doubt in Jesus' name. And Father, we bring back our hearts to this commitment to be people of the Word of God, who declare the Word of God, who believe in the Word of God. Father, I prophesy this word over every heart, that everything is possible for him who believes. I speak right now to every mountain. Let it bow down in the name of Jesus. I speak to every sickness that God's healing is greater than all sickness and disease. I speak to every financial lack, and I declare that God's provision is greater. I declare over every demonic spirit coming against the people of God that the name of Jesus is greater. Your arm is not too short to save, and anything is possible to him who believes. So, Father, right now we make that commitment. We are people of faith. We believe God. We live by faith. We live not by sight, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And just right now, I want you to see with the eyes of faith. See the answered prayer. Just like Ebony and I, we saw our son in our hands before he was conceived. We saw the promise. We saw the faithfulness of God. Just right now, let the Spirit of God breathe visions and dreams. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence, Lord. If we can all just keep our eyes closed, just for one last moment here. Amen.